terrified and afraid. I started thinking, what's happening to me? I'm losing control. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm driving a car here, and I'm on a freeway, and here's my two little kids, and I'm going to kill them or something. I don't know what to do. And she said she was paralyzed in that car, so much so that her hands grasped the steering wheel and almost turned white. She was frozen on the steering wheel and wanted to get off the freeway onto the shoulder of the road, but it seemed like it was so far away, and she didn't want to rush over there either, but she, in a frozen kind of a state, she just started to bend the wheel just a little bit and drift slowly off of the lane toward the shoulder. And, of course, matters were made worse by tons of cars not appreciative of this driving, her driving skills at this point. It began to honk, the horn, yell, all that sort of thing, which increased her anxiety. And it took an interminably long time in her own mind to finally get onto the shoulder. She said that when she got onto the shoulder of the road, she stopped the car immediately, turned it off, and kind of fell in a heap right there in the front seat over the steering wheel and couldn't move. She was just devastated for minutes. She couldn't remember how long it was. And since that day, she said, I have not driven on any freeway at any time. I have this tremendous fear of this panic attack happening again. And so it's been a tremendous problem for me as my children have gotten older. They've become involved in various different sorts of activities in their school now that they're in school, which require me driving them here and there for practices and all sorts of things. And it's quite inconvenient to avoid the freeway to get to these things. And it's creating a problem in our family and even with my husband for efficiency issues and time things and things like that. And so she came for counseling. Now, I'm not going to tell you immediately what we did, other than the fact that I want to raise this question. What do you think the Bible might have something to say about a person with this kind of a problem? Maybe you've got a problem like that. Maybe you have anxiety attacks or panic attacks. Maybe you have fears or phobias, and you might think this is the kind of a problem that, well, I'm a Christian and I pray, and what else can I do? The Bible really doesn't address that. The Bible's a good book, you might think, and it's filled with wisdom about getting to heaven and all that sort of thing. But what does it have to say about that? Well, I want you to know that here on the Transforming Lives program, over these next weeks, we're going to be talking about those kinds of problems, all kinds of problems that people have, the average common problems that people struggle with in their lives. We're going to talk about individual problems, personal problems, the kinds of things we might hide to other people, from other people. We might be talking about, and we'll be talking about, marriage problems, relational problems in a marriage relationship, and how to improve those things. We'll be talking also about relations with other people. We might be discussing conflict and how to resolve those things. The Bible is loaded with information. And we're here to encourage you to begin to trust the Bible more than you ever have before. Because the Bible, we believe, is sufficient to give us everything we need for life and godliness, just as it says in 2 Peter 1:3. God has provided everything that we need for life and for godliness. Now, I told you I was going to be sharing the hosting of the program with others. I want to introduce to you those briefly right now, and we'll be talking to them a little bit more about their backgrounds and their history, but right across from me is Reverend Armand Tiffy. Armand, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
And you and your wife are going to particularly be focusing on some marriage things in the future, right?
That's correct.
Good. We'll look forward to hearing more about that in just a few minutes. And we have Pastor Glenn Dunn here also. Welcome, Glenn.
Thank you, sir.
Good to have you with us.
Privileged to be here. If we're three of your best friends, you need to get around a little more.
I probably should, and actually, I should confess lying at this point to all of us. But no, it's good to have you with us. And also helping us moderate and others, a good friend, Pastor Gus Supan. Welcome, Gus.
Nice to see you, Joe. Nice to be here.
Yeah, amen. We're looking forward to serving God together, aren't we, guys?
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I want you to know that in the context of our time tonight, we're going to be talking more about the sufficiency of Scripture and how it has encouraged all of us as pastors. as well as counselors. We want to maybe share a little bit about some experiences we've had in counseling and just exalt God's word to all of us. We've got a lot of time for that in this coming hour. We'll be with you for an hour. And if you're just tuning in, we're the Transforming Lives radio program. It's live right here on 1220 AM. And not too long from now, we're going to encourage you to call. If you have an interest in the program, you have a question you might want to ask, you have an experience you might want to share with us. The toll-free number is 888-677-WORD, or 888-677, that would be 9673. All right? I'll repeat that, 888-677-WORD, or 677-9673. If you're local here to the Independence area, the number is 216-901-0933. We'll be repeating that often on the program. Well, the scriptures do tell us that they're sufficient, don't they, guys? I was thinking earlier, before the program, not only of the reference that I made from the passage of 2 Peter, but also in Colossians 3:16, where the Apostle Paul tells the average believer in the church there that the word of Christ should dwell in them richly, so that what? So that they would be able to counsel one another. And the results of being counseled by the scriptures and discipled by one another in that regard would fill their lives with joy. Look at the fruit that comes from that. They'd be able to sing to each other songs and hymns and spiritual songs, thanksgiving in their hearts to the Lord. That'd be a neat church, wouldn't it, guys, mm-hmm. to have everybody in there with mm-hmm. melody in their hearts and the way they talk to one another? You guys have churches like that?
Amen.
I know that I do.
I know that we all do.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's an interesting thing when you read the scriptures that singing is often an indicator of the spiritual condition of the heart. And when you have a group of people that sing, whether or not they can, quote-unquote, sing well, mm-hmm. isn't really the issue, but singing itself is often an indicator of where one is spiritually. And to be filled with the Word of God tells us that we're going to evidence that often by making melody in our hearts.
You're right. You're right.
And not only that, but the Scriptures tell us that the Lord is present in His praises.
Yeah,
and when we're going in the midst of a trial, a difficulty, a panicky attack, or what have you, and we're able to sing and to praise, the Lord is present there, and He's ready to help us immediately.
He inhabits the praises of His people.
Right. Yeah.
Thanks, Gus. Yeah, that's good. You're right, Glenn, too, about that that song expression of singing is an outward manifestation of inward joy,
mm-hmm.
which is, of course, the fruit of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm. James tells us in James 5, that if we're suffering, we should pray. If we're rejoicing, we should sing. And I think it's a great mark when you are experiencing the fullness of God's joy and presence and so forth. It's a great mark of a church if the church is a singing church and the people are out there singing. I remember standing next to a man always during our communion services. And we always used to end our communion service with a particular hymn. And I took great pleasure in standing next to this guy. He was one of our deacons every Lord's Day, because the man could not sing. And he knew he could not sing, but that didn't stop him from singing. He just opened his lungs, and it was great rejoicing. And I loved standing next to him and singing that closing hymn after the communion service is a great mark.
Mm-hmm. He was making a joyful noise.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's very difficult to sing in the midst of trials and difficulties. It becomes very difficult to do that.
Mm.
But the Lord is there to help us to do that. And the scriptures call that the sacrifice of praise.
Mm-hmm.
Is when you don't have the ability, the strength, the capacity to do this, We go through a sacrifice of ourself and say, God, regardless of how I feel or what's going on now, I am still going to praise you in the midst of all of this.
Amen. Well, that's one of the things that at the Biblical Counseling Institute we've designed to become more involved in helping Christians learn how to grow in that fruit of the Spirit so that even through trials, they grow and they can have joy. And that people would be equipped, as the scriptures say, to counsel one another. We talked about Colossians 3:16 a moment ago, and Romans 15:14 says something similar. Excuse me. That the Apostle Paul told the Romans that they were competent. He was confident that they were competent to counsel one another. In our day and age, guys, you know that the average Christian does not feel or believe themselves to be competent to counsel. The whole field of counseling, you might say, has been taken from us and taken from the church, in particular by the secular world, believing that an extensive amount of training and degrees and all manner of studies are required before a person is adequate to give counsel. When you fellows have come to believe also, as I have, that the scriptures more than adequately prepare the average Christian to counsel, not just pastors as we are, who ought to be quite skilled at it, but even the average lay person should be able to counsel. And this program is here to encourage the average Christian to do just that, and to become better at handling the scriptures. And that's why Biblical Counseling Institute exists, to train people. We're not really looking for people to counsel. There's plenty of those around. We'd love to help people. We're looking to train Bible-believing Christians to counsel one another. And so we're going to have information about resources on and on throughout these weeks and in this program about how you can find out, you who are listening, how to get trained yourself to use the scriptures to understand people and their problems and to help them do something about it.
Would it be okay if we just read that in Romans 15:14? It's a capstone of what we think and what we do.
Please do, Glenn.
It said, "Now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able to admonish one another." That's the whole issue of being able to address issues with other brethren through the vehicle of the Scriptures, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, that we are competent through God's Word to counsel.
Amen. Amen. Well, you know, I promised that a little later in the program we're going to take calls from you who are listening. But when we come back from this break, we're going to be talking in a little more depth to our hosts here and find out a little bit more about them personally and some of their experience and testimonies, things like that. It'll be very exciting. So you just continue to listen. We'll be right back after this brief intermission.
Do you desire to become more Christ-like? I want to make you aware of a unique resource every Christian should have who wants to grow in Christ-like character. Transformed into His Likeness by Armin Tiffey is a handbook for putting off sin and putting on the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and will help you identify personal habits and tendencies that are hindering your walk with the Lord. This valuable biblical resource will not only help you identify where personal change is needed in your life, but will also explain how to put off old sinful habits and replace them with new godly behaviors. For more information about this wonderful resource, log on to transformedintohislikeness.com. That's transformedintohislikeness.com. If you'd like to order a copy, call 1-800-656-0231 or ask for it at your local bookstore. Transformed into His Likeness by Armin Tiffey.
Back already here at Transforming Lives, 1220 AM radio. And welcome Warren area, Sharon, Youngstown area people on 1440 WHKZ. We're glad that you're hearing us also by simulcast, and we encourage you to call in. The same toll-free number works for you too, 888-677-WORD, or that's 677-9673. So be sure to call in maybe about 15 minutes or so. The lines will be opening up, and we'd be really glad to hear from anyone who'd like to call and talk to us about biblical counseling, the scripture sufficient, or even share a problem with us. It'll be confidential, with us, and we're glad to steer you somehow in the right direction, hopefully by the scriptures. And so we'll look forward to your calls. But in this segment, we want to talk with one another, and I want you to get a little bit more familiar with not only myself, but our three compadres here who will be co-hosting. Now, what we're going to do is each one of us is going to take some spins at doing this. Next week, it'll be another person, whatever. So we're going to take turns, rotate, and so I won't be necessarily hosting every program, but we're looking forward to how God uses each one of us in unique ways. Let me go ahead and start with Armand Tiffy. Armand, you're pastoring where?
Cornerstone Community Church in Mayfield Heights.
And how long have you been there,
Armand? Well, I planted the church. Been there since its inception in 1989.
Okay. What's the math on that?
16 years.
Okay. Good. I couldn't do it fast enough. Mm-hmm. And when did you first begin to realize that the scriptures themselves were more than adequate to handle the counseling things that come through a pastor's office?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Joe, when I became a believer, and I just believed that the Word of God was true and the answers were there. I didn't understand it as much as well as I do now, and I'm sure in 5-10 years, if the Lord tarries, I'll probably continue to learn more and more. But mm-hmm. I just always sensed from the very beginning of my conversion that the scriptures were sufficient for life's problems.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't until that was back in 70, in the 70s and through, but it wasn't until we planted this church and a couple of years went into it, 90, 91, 92, that as I was counseling people, because I was senior pastor now and then, and as I am now, that I wanted to try to be better equipped to reach out and counsel the flock that God has entrusted to my care. Mm-hmm. So that's when I started seeking out biblical counseling, and I was led to BCI, to Biblical Counseling Institute.
How long ago? I'm trying to remember.
That was in 1993.
93,
and that's what really changed my ministry, changed my just opened up scriptures to me that I saw before but never related it to issues of life, to problems, of many problems of life. So it was a real eye-opener, and it continues to still be an eye-opener. I've grown tremendously myself, not only myself in my own personal life, and then also in counseling. Counseling is much more successful now that I've been trained in biblical counseling. Mm-hmm. And I find that the counseling that we're better and I'm better equipped to instill hope in people biblically.
Mm-hmm.
I'm learning how to motivate people biblically. I'm learning how to get to the root of the problem, the heart.
Great.
Of the problem.
And Armand, we're excited for you because you've got a book out now. You're an author.
Yes.
What's the title of your book?
Transformed Into His Likeness.
Yeah, that's pretty close to the name of this program.
Yes.
Transforming Lives.
Right.
And we'll talk a little bit later about what your book covers so that people might be interested in getting a hold of that. Let's talk to Glenn. You got any questions for Glenn, Armand?
Well, Glenn, same question.
Yes.
Why biblical counseling? Why biblical counseling training?
You know, when I was in seminary, I was able to take courses and so forth, and the way that I was taught biblical counseling, pastoral counseling, we called it then, was I was presented with two systems. One was a system that combined the world's wisdom and knowledge with the scriptures, and the other one's a system that said that the Bible alone was sufficient. And by God's grace, I landed on the latter, that God's word is sufficient. But I never had occasion, unfortunately, to really put that into practice until later in my time in ministry. And the Lord really began to deal with me on the necessity for us as Christians to be confident in the word of God in the matters of helping people. And I came to realize that there was a a difference between people claiming to believe in the inerrancy of the Scriptures as opposed to people claiming that they also believed in the sufficiency of the Scripture. Mm-hmm. And I have to admit that that was a surprise to me.
Yes.
As you know, we worked through things. And then in God's providence, I was made aware of a great movement in what's called biblical counseling. And I was so encouraged with what I saw that I went on to become a certified biblical counselor through the national organization known as National Association of Nuthetic Counselors. And we use this phrase cheaply, and I know you haven't used it cheaply, Armin, in saying it, but the same is true for me. It was life-changing. It was ministry-changing, frankly. It was radically changing. And I don't say lightly that it was life-changing. I've had the pleasure of seeing God use His Word in transforming the lives of people. Mm-hmm. And that's an exciting thing. First half of my ministry, I don't think I could say that as much as even as you've just said.
I identify with that.
To see the Lord using His Word in the lives of people.
And how long have you been pastoring, Glenn?
I've been in the ministry about 20 years, and all told.
Now you're pastoring where?
It sounds similar to Armin's church, but it's Cornerstone Bible Fellowship.
And located?
It's on the west side of Cleveland.
Great.
The Lord allowed us to establish about 2 years ago, a little over 2 years ago, this new church. And as a church, we're committed to seeing God's Word solely used in counseling. And we are seeing others trained to help us with that task. I'm a firm believer, as I know you men are, that we should see the church as a hospital mm-hmm. for sinners and not mm-hmm. just a showplace for saints. And
exactly.
So God is, and He's given me the great privilege of pastoring a great group of people who are excited and who are committed to the propagation of the Word of God solely in helping people.
Amen.
And that's a great blessing.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah. Let's hear from Gus for a few moments before our next break. Mm-hmm. Gus, where are you pastoring?
I'm pastoring at Cuyahoga Valley Church in Broadview Heights. Been there for mm-hmm. about 10 years.
Your responsibilities there?
Pastor of pastoral care.
Great.
I come at this at a slightly different vantage point. I think it was in the mid-1980s when I first ran into Joe. I, from the time I was a teenager, was struggling with a great many emotional and psychological problems and was really desperate. Panic attacks were a way of life for me.
Mm.
I don't think I talk about the fact that when I, in all the counseling I've been doing, in the years I've been counseling, I probably have counseled two people that I thought had as much depression or more depression than me. Mm. But I, when we talked about the Word being active in you, I remember first of all coming to a breakfast at a restaurant in the Niles area. Joe at that time was preaching there. He was preaching a message to a men's breakfast. And I sat there and listened to him talk about anger and fear, and I knew that these somehow were a component of what I was going through. So I lingered after that particular breakfast and got in touch with you, Joe, and I began hearing about biblical counseling. I began to hear about using the Word of God. Mm. Up to this point, I had been to psychiatrists. I had been to self-help programs. I've tried everything, medications and various drugs, and I was not becoming successful. I wasn't gaining victory mm. over these issues that I was struggling with. And then I began to, I mean, remember, Joe, the course I think that you were teaching was self-confrontation.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was about a 19-week course drive. At that time, you were teaching it out in Chardon. And I was driving across town through the snow and everything else to get, because I was desperate. I wanted answers.
Mm.
And I began to see from the Word how God can help me overcome this. I remember being I was a salesman at the time, and I was in an office on the 11th floor in Warren, Ohio, back in your area, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
I was in a meeting with an engineer, and I began to have a panic attack sitting across the desk from him. And my heart began to pound. I began really thinking I was going to have to run from that building. And all I did was begin to recite, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Mm-hmm. I can stay here. I don't have to run. I must have said that hundreds of times, even within the context of meeting with this man. And I was able to overcome that upsurge of a panic attack in his office. And then when I stepped out of his office, I still had to get on that elevator mm-hmm. and still go down into a closed environment and was wondering if the panic attack is going to resurge, appear again. And I began bathing myself, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let this request be known to God with thanksgiving, and the peace of God will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. That was the last panic attack I had in my life. Mm-hmm. And it was because of this that I find myself getting to know you better, getting to take a number of your courses, and beginning to become so thrilled with the Word of God being the answers to everything for life and godliness. Yeah. Sorry, it took up more time than
all right.
I probably should have.
It's a great story, and it's true. And the fact is, there are people listening, Gus, that right now could be quite desperate in similar ways or more with their own situations, whether it's anxiety, panic attack, depression, fears, worries, whatever it might be. And so we're here to let them know they don't need the help really of the world. They need Christ and His Word, and it's all that we need.
It's really exciting, isn't it, when God deals with you in such a way? And you know, with us, when God deals with us and makes us confident in the Scriptures, and when God deals with you in such a significant way and makes you confident in the Scripture, let me get that. And I think it's exciting to see that we can be confident. And you know what? I think, Joe, and you can speak to this probably even better than I could. The fact is that there are far too many Christians who aren't confident in the Word of God to help. And the fact is, sadly, it seems as this, there's far too many shepherds in the Church of Jesus Christ who are not confident in the Word of God to help with people's problems. And you've already quoted a verse which is a favorite for all of us, but 2 Peter 1:3, that God has given to us all that we need for life and godliness. And I think it's one of the most, to borrow our phrase, transforming things when God deals with us to say, like in Gus's situation, you know what? The Word of God is sufficient to help you with that. And the Word of God is sufficient to help us with all of the areas of life that we may happen to struggle with. And we praise the Lord for that. As pastors, if we can't be confident in the Word of God, we shouldn't expect that our people are going to be confident in the Word of God.
Yeah. Let's try to develop that after the next break a little bit longer in our next segment. Just hearing about this brief testimonials from each of us is very exciting to me. Even though I've heard most of them before, it's just tremendously exciting. We want to find out also a little bit, probably ask you the question, can you cite a particular incident of ministering God's Word to someone else where you saw a transformation by the power of the Spirit over these kinds of problems that we typically think you need to go to secular help in the world to get? That's the issue.
Right.
The kinds of problems. So keep that in your mind. And don't forget, listeners, we're going to start taking calls after this break, so you might want to write these numbers down again, 888-677-WORD. That would be 677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Or locally, 216-901-0933. Let me tell you this also. This is a modern technology thing, but if it's difficult to get through by phone or you for some reason would rather email us, we can get an email from you right here online. You just email transforminglives@yahoo.com. All right? transforminglives@yahoo.com, and we'll even take your emails. Well, we'll see you right after this break.
The Biblical Counseling Institute offers training in the use of God's Word to help people solve the common problems of life in a fallen world. Whether personal problems or relational problems, the Scriptures give competent counsel for all non-organically caused problems. BCI exists to equip Christians to handle the Bible practically for themselves and others, gently and compassionately, towards solutions that transform lives and glorify God. Various types of training are available. You can come to us in Garrettsville. We can bring classes to your church, or you can take classes in your own home by correspondence. For more information, call BCI at 330-527-4205 or email us at info@bci-ohio.com. That's 330-527-4205 or info@bci-ohio.com.
Back here at Transforming Lives. It's good to have you back with us. For those of you that are just tuning in, Transforming Lives is a program dedicated to encouraging Bible-believing Christians that the Scriptures are really all they need. A relationship with Christ, of course, is a given, but the Scriptures are really all we need to be able to handle life successfully. And we're talking about problems now. We're talking about counseling problems that might be in your life. The counsel comes from God, and it comes through His Word. And that's what we want to focus on in our programs and show how that's practically true in various different ways. Well, guys, we have a few more things to cover, but we have a caller already. We have Bill in Strongsville. Bill, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Bill, how are you? It's glad to have you call the program. Welcome.
Well, thank you. This is the first time I've tuned in. I will definitely catch your program again, but I found it interesting that you're talking about panic attacks. I've struggled with them for 26 years.
Wow.
Well, Thanksgiving Day of 1979, I sort of had a nervous breakdown, and I was diagnosed with depression and schizophrenia and then I started having panic attacks where I couldn't be in groups, large groups, and anyway, I just wanted to tell you I had sort of a strange experience today. I woke up this morning and I've been going to a new church just recently, and this morning, I wanted to start things differently. So I poured out my heart to the Lord, and I confessed some things, and I just praised the Lord. And I listened to some Christian stuff on the radio, and I said, I'm going to church.
Amen.
And I went to the church, and I've only been there a few times, but I've been to another church that I like equally as well for more times. But this particular church just strikes me as being friendly and open and honest. And another friend that I've attended another church with goes there, and he told me where he went, and I saw it, and I know where it's at. So I decided to go. So this is... I'm relatively new at this church, but everybody's so friendly. So anyway, I usually sit in the back and in the corner by myself, and I don't usually sing that often because I have a horrible voice, but I forgot to take my medicine, and I went out to my car and took my medicine. I came back and my seat was taken. So I said, well, I'm going to sit up front for a change. And I never do that. And I sat in the second row. And the service started. And the gentleman behind me was singing. And he had a terrific voice. So after the singing was done, I just had to tell him. I turned around and I said, you know, something's... You have a terrific voice, and you made me want to sing all the more of that louder, even though I have a horrible voice. And he smiled, and his wife smiled, and they were very friendly, and they said thank you, and then I turned around and paid attention to the service again.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I turned around a little while later, and they were gone. So I go, am I having a panic attack? I go, I can't be having a panic attack. I'm totally at ease with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm enjoying the service. I'm learning. You know, I said, if there's a problem, he's having it. I'm not having it because I'm just going to take my notes and stick to my guns, and the Lord will see me through this.
Bill, how long have you been a Christian?
I've been a Christian, it's hard to say, since shortly after my breakdown. But what I'm getting to is this gentleman went to lead the youth group, and that's the reason he left.
Uh-huh.
And my friend who was sitting behind him explained that to me after the service, and I said, oh, that's why he left. And it was all in my head, you know. Any little doubts that I had, see, God'll, it just, sometimes my panic attacks are so bad that I have to run. I mean, I have to get out right away, and I just run, just run out the door. Mm-hmm. Get out as fast as I can.
So you're still having panic attacks even up to this day every so often?
Every so often, but it's not as bad. I'm treated with medication. I've been treated with medication. But even without the medication, I go to smaller groups. Like instead of going to the 10:30 church service where there's hundreds of people, I'll go to the 6 o'clock church group where there's a little less people, and then I can pick and choose my spots where to sit, to be in. But as long as I'm with God's people and learning God's word and, that's all that counts. And God has seen me through this. I'm 49 years old and that was one of the things I talked about God. I said, you've seen me through 49 years. You'll continue to see me through. I've had the panic attacks and the nervousness and stuff and the mental illness or whatever you want to call it. I was told once by a counselor that all mental illness is caused by a chemical imbalance in the brain.
Mm-hmm. Well, Bill, there's a lot of theories about causes for panic attacks and depression and all sorts of things. And I want you to keep listening to the program over the weeks ahead because we are going to get into that in a lot of depth. But at least right now, we're grateful that the Lord is somewhat keeping you stable. But I want to encourage you to look into getting some more information from the scriptures, and I'm sure you, in fact, I'm sure amongst us here, we can throw some things out for you right now. Gus, you got something for Bill?
Yeah, Bill, this is Pastor Gus. I was the one that commented about the history that I had with panic attacks. And I'm, as I'm listening to you, I can walk in your shoes a little bit. The thing that we need to understand and we need to learn is that this fear is really things are lies being fed to us, and we need to identify that. For example, you were believing that this person left for some other reasons, and then you found out it was what the real truth was. Mm-hmm. But we people who deal with this this pattern in our lives get very very upset because our thinking is not biblical. The Bible tells us in Philippians 4, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on these things. And I think one of the things that I learned, I know one of the things that I learned early on was to hold every thought captive.
Mm.
When these thoughts come that suggest anxiety, that you begin to memorize the word, you begin to hide it in your heart, and you begin to speak it, to say it, to think it, and to change your thoughts and set your affection on things above. And you'll find that if you look at that scripture, I'd like to direct you to Philippians 4:8 and maybe have you spend some time in that scripture.
Yes, that was what I was going to say. I was going to ask you about scripture memorization and what role that might have, because I could hold things, scriptures in my mind for short periods of time, but after a while I forget where they are. I have a general idea, and could find them in the book eventually. But I mean, to just quote scripture off verbatim, you know, is I mean, I know paraphrased, but I need to work on that.
Well, there are aids available to help you, Bill. There are some really interesting books that have scriptures that are oriented toward various problems, and I'm thinking of two in particular right now. There's a book called Quick Scripture Reference for Biblical Counselors. It's by John Kruis, K-R-U-I-S. You might want to jot that down and check for it in your local bookstore. But also, Brother Armin's book here would be very helpful to you, Transformed
Into His Likeness,
which is by from Focus Publishing. Mm-hmm. And that has the scriptures that are best suited to the various different things you might be wanting to work on conquering your problems.
Right. That'll give you a list of scriptures for over 100 common problems that Christians face. And the one you struggle with is one of them in there. And you can find out more about that at transformedintohislikeness.com.
I think one of the main things I need to do is get out of myself and get into the Lord, and just realize that He was a spotless lamb, and He paid for any problems or any sins that I have committed, and I still struggle with some old relationships and stuff. That I think may have—I'm not sure if they brought on the problem or not—but I was going through them at the time that this first started happening, and then for a while I was self-medicating myself with drugs and alcohol, but I've been off marijuana for 17 years and alcohol for more than 11.
Well, praise God.
Bill, it was a great day in my life when I no longer had to depend upon drugs for treating my anxiety. I have in a little vial in my home a little pill, a green and white pill that I got some 25 years ago called Librium, and I don't even know if that pill's on the market anymore. But I often look to that as the end of that era in my life.
Yes, I just, you know, I just pray to God, you know, that, you know, He could do anything in my life that He wishes, and if I'm willing to meet Him, say halfway, or just surrender my life to Him, and to tell you the truth, I would love not to take another pill the rest of my life, you know, and I can't. It can be done if I just trusted in Him.
That's the issue. Armin, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, Bill, I'd like to just encourage you. I don't know if you have a paper and a pencil there that you can jot down two references that I think it would be very helpful if you'd meditate upon these two.
Okay,
go ahead. And one of them is Matthew chapter 6, and verses 25 through 34.
Beatitudes?
It's not the Beatitudes, but it's part of the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus gave. Matthew 6, verse 25 through 34. And the other one is Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. And I would meditate upon them, and I would Philippians 4 and verses 6 through 8. In fact, all of Philippians 4 would be good, but those verses specifically. Mm-hmm. And I would meditate upon them, and as you're looking at them, I would just jot down various insights and thoughts and how God is enlightening you as you are meditating upon those verses and how they relate to your particular issue. I would highly encourage you to do that.
Bill, can you hold on just for a moment? We want to share a couple more things with you right after the break. Would that be all right?
Well, I hope I'm not taking up too much of your time.
Absolutely not. Can you hold on?
I would be glad to.
Good. Listen, listeners, we'll be right back after this short break.
The Biblical Counseling Institute offers training in the use of God's Word to help people solve the common problems of life in a fallen world. Whether personal problems or relational problems, the Scriptures give competent counsel for all non-organically caused problems. BCI exists to equip Christians to handle the Bible practically for themselves and others, gently and compassionately, towards solutions that transform lives and glorify God. Various types of training are available. You can come to us in Garrettsville, we can bring classes to your church, or you can take classes in your own home by correspondence. For more information, call BCI at 330-527-4205 or email us at info@bci-ohio.com. That's 330-527-4205 or info@bci-ohio.com.
Welcome back to Transforming Lives. We have Bill on the line. We want to make some concluding suggestions to Bill. Bill, you're there?
Yes.
Great, great. Listen, we have respect for the your current use of medication. We in no way want to have you assume that we would recommend you to just drop all that. What we want you to do, though, is to grow in your trust of God. I think you mentioned earlier that you keep looking to the Lord and remembering that he paid the price for your sins. And that's incredibly important. But let me stretch you a little bit. Most of us Christians, in fact, all of us Christians, had better know that Jesus died for our sins. That's one of the most comforting truths, if not the most comforting truth. But our knowledge of God needs to continue to increase. Being introduced to God through Christ as our Savior is just the beginning. Even the Scriptures say being born again is entering the kingdom. We got to learn how to live in the kingdom. We have to learn how to grow in the kingdom. And one of the things that Christians do as they study the Word is get to really know God, get to know Him better and better. And we find that as we grow in our trust of God, in particular, as a provider for us and a protector for us, those attributes of God encourage us to relax more and more in difficult circumstances of our lives. And it tends to shake off the anxieties that we are tempted to have and the panics that we're tempted to have because we have fears of the unknown or we're not quite sure how things are going to turn out and we get nervous about those things. But the more we know God as provider, protector, and we trust Him, we begin to find the cure that eliminates the need for beer, alcohol, or any kind of substitutionary help. You see that? Catch my drift there?
Yes, I do.
So let me encourage you to look at those passages, meditate on them. Another helpful book might be Trusting God by Jerry Bridges, one of the best on that particular topic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, excellent.
Well, yeah, Bill, I have the John MacArthur Study Bible, and it's got 25,000 footnotes, mm-hmm. so I will definitely meditate on not only the Scriptures, but the footnotes also.
Good. And listen, Bill, just a quick thought, too. It would be good for you. I'm sure all of us pastors would recommend that you find a good Bible-believing church and settle there. Make a commitment, join, and become deeply involved mm-hmm. and put some roots down. That goes a long way in helping you grow. And so we want to encourage you. God bless you, Bill. Thank you so much for calling.
Well, listen, it's so nice to find a program like this that talks to issues that directly apply to me, and I was so glad to get through. And thank you for so much for what you do for people and what God has done for you and how you share that with people. And I just want to thank you very much. You've helped me a lot, and I'm right now I'm going to finish listening to the program and then get my Bible out.
Amen.
God bless you, brother. Well, listen, folks, we'll talk in the future weeks about some of the other details and testimonies that the guys are going to share. But, guys, what kind of things are coming up in the future on the programs you're planning to host? Let's let people know where we're heading in the coming. I can just speak, first of all, for next week I'll be hosting, and we'll be talking about, with Gus's help here, the issue of sound doctrine and how important it is to believe correctly. I kind of just gave a hint at that, didn't we, when we were mm-hmm. looking at if our understanding of who God is and what He's like is accurate, it goes a long way to helping us counsel correctly and receive counsel and grow in our lives. So we'll be talking more about doctrine and its place in counseling in general. But what other kinds of things we got coming up? Armin, you and your wife are covering some things in the next few weeks, too.
My wife, Kathy, and I, who's also a certified biblical counselor, we do marriage counseling together primarily. That's primarily what we do in our church is marriage counseling. And our focus is going to be on the marriage relationship. So on August 8th, we'll talk about, you know, how to help prevent and resolve conflicts in marriage. And we'll get to the cause of conflict.
That'll be October 8th.
What did I say?
August.
Oh, I'm sorry. October 8th.
That's right.
And November 5th, we'll be dealing with unfulfilled expectations in marriage. And for most, I think marriage is not what they thought it would be. And so we'll be dealing with that. And then December 3rd, we'll be dealing with enhancing love, how to enhance love in marriage and take a good look at what the Bible says about love and how to display it towards one another.
Glenn, you got some ideas of where you might be going?
It's a privilege to be able to share. It's a privilege to use this forum, and we should be thankful for guys like Bill who are calling in already, listening, and that's our prayer, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
That God would be pleased to help people to think differently, perhaps, about things. And in line with that, I follow you on October the 1st, and we're going to either be doing one of two things on that night, either speaking to how we can learn to use the Bible, that is, trust the Bible, and or we have an opportunity to have a radio interview with Dr. Wayne Mack. Perhaps some of the folks there have heard of Dr. Mack. He's written a number of really good books, and we're looking forward to that opportunity on October the 1st.
Great. Well, I'm looking forward to also some of the other programs. We're going to have Dr. Jay Adams with us in November, available for people to call and talk to. Well, our time's about up on our program tonight, folks, and we're certainly glad that you tuned in. If we rush this end here about some of the future topics, I want you to know you can turn to www.bci-ohio.com. Our website has a page on there with the radio program where you can see the programs coming up and make sure you tune in. You're going to be able to stream live the program there, and eventually you can also purchase copies of these radio programs if you find any one of them particularly useful and like to hear again. Well, God bless you. Thanks for listening. Please tell your friends all about Transforming Lives here on 1220 AM Radio. We'd love to sit together with you. We feel like we're together with you next Sunday night, 7 to 8, right here on 1220 AM. God bless you. Have a wonderful evening.
NIV for free? The NIV is fabulously free. Online at crosswalk.com.